Shalom, goddammit! Welcome back to the Dave's Gone By radio program. I am Rabbi Saul Solomon, leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York, and I have a wonderful guest on the phone with us today, this evening. He has written an interesting and extremely useful and readable book. It is called Wacky Days, and it's good, except it has the longest goddamn subtitle I've ever seen on a book. How to get millions of dollar signs and free publicity by creating a real holiday, and that's real in quotation marks there, and the end is an ampersand, other tactics used by media experts. And if this were not insult to injury, the man's name even has a thing on it. So if you're trying to look it up or write it, you can't just write the name. It's T.S. Perich. P-E-R-I-C, but there's a thing, a streichel over the C, that makes it, you know, that it's a ch instead of a ch or a k. Oh my God, I'm already exhausted talking about this. Are you still there, Tom?
Yes, Rabbi, it's great to be with you. I'm glad to see that you know what that ch means. You're right, I never anglicized it. We kept it the Eastern European way. It's Croatian.
Is it Croatian?
Yes, it is.
So where were your parents during the war? That's what I want to know.
They were in Croatia or escaping Croatia.
All right. As long as that's the correct answer, let me tell you, or else I'd be hanging up right now. But no, I've enjoyed your book so much. It's because the title, it's not exactly misleading, but most of the book is not about creating a holiday, creating a quote-unquote wacky day. Because let's face it, Jews, we're not basically wacky. We do not have the wackiness gene. And so we have to do other things to publicize what we're doing and to let people know our businesses, our goals, what we're trying to sell. So what are some of the things that you talk about in the book to get publicity for people?
Well, the real thing is in the book itself, and what I do is an example of it. You are correct. I took one chapter of the book create a wacky day, which we'll come to in just a second.
Okay.
And the idea is that you can create a wacky day and build a news theme around it. And you see, when I looked at my own book, and this isn't really about me, but it's about your listeners, but I said, who's going to put me on a radio show, on a general radio show, not a business show now, and talk about publicity? No one, because they don't care. However, for fun, for information, to be informative and entertaining, they would put me on to talk about National Broccoli Week and National I Forgot Day. So what I did...
Wait, when was National I Forgot Day?
That was July 1st.
Oh, damn it, I forgot.
In fact, I want to tell everybody that today is No Interruptions Day. That's December 30th. On this day, there shall be no interruptions at work. We minimize or eliminate interruptions to our thought processes or any of those tasks that we perform.
Well, you've also made it national. Let's confuse everybody because this is not airing on the same day.
That's right.
But no, there are some other really interesting, like in your publicity materials, you mentioned there's No Excuse Sunday. What is that?
Well, that's a day where everybody always seems to have an excuse for doing something, and that's the day when you just don't have an excuse. In fact, you know, Rabbi, we have some really, really important days coming up in January.
Such as?
Oh, for example, the whole month. It's called Image Improvement Month. It empowers others like you and me. Of course, you probably look good and feel good already. But like,
oh,
me,
are you kidding? I've got so many ailments, they cannot even be listed. And when you get three-volume set.
Yes, but your mind is bright, and that's what makes you good.
Yeah, mind over prostate, that's what
that's
I say.
Right. We have, for example, the whole month is Image Improvement Month. But maybe for those animal lovers, we have Squirrel Appreciation Day on January 21st.
This is a good day.
So everybody should go out in their lawn and leave some nuts or something for their squirrels. In fact, that coincides, and I wouldn't suggest you do. You combine.
I'm not giving a squirrel my nuts, that's for sure.
Well, and the next, the same day, of course, is January 21st, is National Hugging Day.
Yes, I could do.
That's right. I wouldn't suggest you hug a squirrel, though. It's when you know, since hugging is good for everyone and it's a healthy form of touching, you should spend the day hugging people who will accept, I use that word advisedly, from your friends and relatives and whoever it may be.
Well, you know, I'm scheduled to give a speech at the Women's American Ought sometime next month. Maybe the 21st would be a really good day to do that. Thank you for the. What about January 23rd? That happens to be the birthday of my good friend and the radio host Dave Lefkowitz of Dave's Gone By.
It raises National Handwriting Analysis Week, and that's when you should inform the public gets informed about handwriting and what kind of behavior it explains. And one of the more important days just passed last week. This is for all our Goy listeners. We've got National Winers Day.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, it's a great day. It's a day dedicated to winers, especially those who return Christmas gifts and need a lot of attention.
Well, we didn't get any Christmas gifts this year for obvious reasons, but the attention, please. My wife is the vice president of National Liners Day, goddammit.
That's right.
And also, you mentioned National Hairball Awareness Day. This amuses me.
I don't have the date exactly in front of me because, as you know, there's tens of thousands of these days. But what that is draw attention to the feline creatures who have hairballs and why they have that necessary process where they cough up the hairballs. It's for cat lovers.
Now, but tell me, how do these it's one thing for me to think of, okay, National Scratch Myself and Cry Day. But I can say it, and I can tell my wife and then my 18 and a half beautiful children, but how does it go beyond my thinking of this thing and becoming a thing that other people will talk about as a thing?
That's a very good point, Rabbi. Let me explain how all this works.
Good, thank you.
Until 1995, what would happen often, get, quote, official recognition, is people would submit these ideas for promotional reasons, usually, or to promote a message, a service, or an idea, and they would often go to their congressman. And in fact, coincidentally, my wife, who attended school at Columbia and was a Fulbright scholar, was a legislative director for a U.S. congressman. And she said, oh, yes, she says, people would come in all the time, and they quit doing it, I think it was in 1995, for a very simple and a good reason. It wasted too much staff time. What they would do is take these days, get them inserted into the congressional record, and that would sort of make it official. And they discontinue that. Now, there are about 200 days that are still official vis-a-vis presidential proclamations that the president makes every year.
I assume National Hairball Awareness Day is not one of them.
You are dead correct about that. Well, Thanksgiving Day, for example, would be one of those. So what has happened in that backdraft, if you will, even more so, there are two books out there. One is called, when I say book, they're reference works. And I defy any listener, not just in the Long Island area, but throughout the United States, to say, go to any library in the United States, walk up to the reference desk and say, I would like to see a copy of Chase's Calendar of Events. That's C-H-A-S-E apostrophe S. Chase's Calendar of Events. And what that is the arbiter of what these holidays are. And you create them by submitting them to Chase's. And if Chase's accepts your submission, then you can officially say that you have an official holiday. Now, the key is with Chase's is if you submit it, they accept it, it's actually there. Now it's up to you to promote the day.
Uh-huh.
Now, the only thing they won't do, unless you're very famous already, you can't create a day to celebrate your birthday or my birthday. And they probably won't do it for an anniversary. But virtually anything under the sun, with one exception, of course,
and that is,
does the day exist already? And if the day, they're not going to duplicate themselves.
But what if the day is vaguely obscene or something like that?
I have carefully looked at Chase's. I have this huge book right here in front of me. It's very expensive, by the way. I mean, if you want to buy one, it's somewhere in the vicinity of, and it's a reference work. It's about $60, I guess. But the libraries carry them. I do not see one reference, and I've gone through this whole book, obviously, for my own book and for my radio appearances, and I've never seen anything that is even slightly off color.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
But I will tell your readers a secret.
What?
And this was something that was told to me when I interviewed the editor of the book, who is in Chicago. And the secret to this, if you create a day, is you must renew the day if you wish to have it continued in there. And she told me, surprisingly, in fact, that somewhere upwards to 30% of the people who, quote, create a day fail to renew, so they drop out of it. And by the way, registering this day is extremely expensive, too. I should say that. It costs nothing.
Oh, I like that. I'm going to register 25 days tomorrow.
That's right. What you do need is an official entry form, which people get. Here's my little plug. When you buy my book, I give you an official entry form for Chase's, and I also give you an official entry form for John Kremer's book, and I give you sort of a tip sheet on things you should consider. But, Rabbi, you know, the real thing here is, why do it? I mean, who cares? Why do you promote it? And here's what I tell people. I've been a journalist for more than 25 years, and when you approach the media, you have to answer two questions. If you can answer these two questions, you can get all the media attention you want whenever you want. You have to answer the first question, which is...
Is it good for the Jews?
Well, that's right. And why should a Jew care?
Why should a Jew care now? Well, that's a corollary.
That's
1A and 1B there. But
that's
yes,
right.
Now, but what are the questions that you would
ask? Well, no, you're very close, though. You have to ask... You have to answer to the satisfaction of that editor or of the news producer, why should I care? And the second question is, why should I care now? And so what you've done by either creating a day or for your listeners, remember, you don't have to create any day. Go get the book and see. Let's say you own a laundry, and there's a couple days that celebrate laundry service in the country, so you could tie some marketing or publicity to a day that's already created. You know this because you're in the business. You don't have to attract all the media at one time. What you have to do is attract a segment of the media, and the media, and I've been part of it, is really a pack, and it's like a herd that follows a lead steer. Let me give you an example. A client of mine here in the Philadelphia area, as you know, a lot of attention has been going on about gambling in kids and the benefits and the negative part of gambling. Kids are playing Texas Hold'em.
With a dreidel yet. It's rather scary, yes.
That's right. And I just sent to one of the local stations here in Philadelphia, by the way, is the sixth largest media market in the country. I have a psychologist who can talk about not just the benefits and the negative part of that kind of gambling, but more importantly, the telltale signs that occur when you might begin to have a problem with your kids gambling with their friends. And in all likelihood, a television station here locally has expressed interest. Now, why does that matter again? What I was able to do was to show her, the local producer, that this has been covered by the major networks, but, because I pay attention to my local media, there's been nothing about it in our greater Philadelphia media, you see. So that's an example of following the pack. I actually pointed out to her that the media cover this, but you guys haven't covered it. You haven't covered it with the local angle, which is what your job is. Of course, I didn't use that last
one. Yeah.
Naturally.
Smacked you on your butt. Let me tell you, talk to her like that. But, again, with other aspects of the book of ideas, the whole thing is, the idea is to bring attention to yourself and to whatever it is that you're trying to push or sell. And other ideas that you have besides the wacky days and the releases include getting yourself out there as either a public speaker or doing interviews on radio or doing interviews on television, much as you're doing. What is a good way to go in that direction?
I think you have to ask what you feel comfortable doing. For example, I happen to personally love radio. It's short, meaning it's not as hard as writing an article for 4 hours. The hosts, like yourself, are usually generous. They're informative.
I'm not generous, let me tell you that.
Well, you're generous to a point with your time.
If I give $5 a year to Hadassah, that's it. I tell the tax person otherwise, but let's face it, you know.
Yeah, so that's what I would say. If you find out what you feel comfortable doing, some people would no sooner get in front of a microphone or no sooner stand up in front of an audience that they would rather drop dead. You know, speaking in front of an audience, I understand, is the second greatest fear, only after dying, allegedly. But if that's what you do, if you like to speak, if you can be enthusiastic, you don't have to be a great speaker. All you have to do is be enthusiastic and know your topic. Now, this is a very important issue. A expert, and that's what I always do. I take my clients, I make them experts. They say, well, what's an expert? They think you have to have a PhD or an MD. And I say, you're wrong. If you can talk about your topic for an hour, nonstop, with enthusiasm, with clarity, in simple English, you're an expert in that topic. And you can get in front of a group, and you can talk about that. And groups like the Kiwanis,
right,
groups like that are always looking for, you know, speakers. Just go to the Yellow Pages, get all the under associations and organizations, make a letter and offer your presentation for free. Talk about 20 minutes, make it informative. People do not mind when you're on the radio, when you're giving a speech. They don't mind if you plug what you do or a message that you have. What they do mind is how you do it. So if you give a speech, it's 20 minutes, and it's real informative information. It's not a thinly veiled infomercial for your business. For example, back to my tough example of a laundry service, I would get, if I owned a laundry business, I don't know why I'm on laundries today, but the point is, I would give a talk on the 25 most common mistakes people make when it comes to taking care of their clothes. I would shorten that headline, by the way. Or I would say how you can save $300 a year by knowing what to do in terms of taking care of your clothes. And then you rattle those tips off in a nice, clean way. And at the end, whenever you do these things, you want to have a giveaway. You want to leave people with something so they can reach you, whether it's these days, website, easiest thing in the world, it's cheap. toll-free number. In my case, it's 877 Wacky Days. Did you see how I did that?
I get it, yeah. It's good to have a number like that. And a business card. You always need a lead behind the thing.
I spoke to the president of the National Speakers Association. I had lunch with him in California. And, he's a guy charging $9,000 for an hour speech. And I said to him, this was about 4 or 5 years ago, I said, what is the best promotion you've ever used in all these years? And you're a real savvy guy, knows how to do publicity. And he kind of looks at me and says, you won't believe this. He says, my business card. He says, I think I've given thousands of them out. But the point is that that's a natural way of doing it, the speaking or the radio. Let's say you don't like to do that. Let's say you get tongue-tied. Write articles. Whenever you write articles as a freelance writer in an area, virtually every editor allows you what they call a tagline. And that is the descriptive sentence, sometimes a paragraph, where you say, here's your name, here's who you are, here's a phone number. And sometimes they even let you promote a product or service if that's what you're promoting. Hi, this is Tom Parrish, author of Wacky Days. Welcome to our show, Dave's Gone By, on Radio WGBB. I had a client in the Midwest, in a major Midwest city, had the largest architectural firm in the city, and the president was a very smart guy. He happened to be Jewish, too, by the way, okay? And he said to me, he says, I don't care about the public, and I don't care about architectural magazines. I won't mention their name, but what he said to me was this, very smart guy. He says, what I do care about are the builders who are going to think about which architects they want when it comes to deciding that they want to build a new mall. He says, I want to be in those magazines. I want to be in the magazines that developers and builders read. When I started out with them, the previous year, we estimated they got about $10,000 worth of free publicity by doing nothing, just by being around. 2 years later, $1.4 million.
My goodness.
They would go to conventions and people would say to them, man, you're really out there. And we were out there for three reasons. Number one, they hired me, and they listened to me. Oh, but that's more. Two, the vice president was smart enough to know that she didn't understand the business. And then the third reason it worked is I didn't implement the entire plan. She had someone on staff who was savvy, smart, and diligent. She implemented, right? I was just calling the shots. We were a team. We knocked them dead.
Let's say I wanted to get the word out about this particular radio program. I'm begging for free advice here.
Sure.
as a favor from my friend Dave. Let's say he wanted to boost not the credibility, because there's zero credibility, but the profile, at least, of the Dave's Gone By radio program to the general public.
Well, you're a savvy guy, and that's a big thing question, so I'll give you shoot-from-the-hip answers. There's probably some more, but let me give you a couple.
As long as it's not a hip fracture, I'm sure I'm good.
We won't fracture. Here's what I would do. Let's start with the low end, and let's work our way up, okay?
All right.
Sounds
like me in the bedroom. Okay.
That's right. The low end would be this. There are a plethora of courses at colleges, adult education courses. I would teach some courses about radio. And I don't mean a boring way now. For example, you are an expert at least in two areas that I know of. You're an expert on being Jewish.
Yes, this is
you're
true.
And you're an expert on being a radio. And since you're a guy, at least I think with the name, right? So you're an expert on being a guy.
Wow.
And then the fourth expert is you're an expert on being a Jewish guy, okay? You see where I'm going with this? So what I would do is I would teach a course or two about
how to be an angry Jewish guy on radio.
How did you get the course? You think that there's other people who want to have a radio show like you? I would show them how you did it and what you did, okay? What have you done here? First of all, you never know who's in the audience. That may be a part of the media or an important contact. Number two, guess what? Now you're not just a radio host. I don't mean just, okay? You are also now
a rabbi.
Or an adjunct. Well, that's right. And you're also a rabbi. And you're an adjunct professor at whatever the college is. So now you have you're gaining more credibility. Second issue, I would scour the media on a daily basis and look at what areas that you feel you can comment on. And how do you get them to pay attention to you? In other words, who are you? You say, here's what you missed. You always have to give them the reason. Say, this is an angle that you haven't covered before. You have to be prepared to comment about other areas. What you can also do is, and this is probably, you know, I'm very big on not spending money because I tend to be very cheap. I mean, I cringe at spending money.
We are peas in a pod.
That's right.
A very inexpensive pod at that.
Yes, I like making it, and I hate spending it. I have a feeling that you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God, I do, yeah.
Okay. What I would also do is, in your case again, Rabbi, what I would do is I would create, you need a media list, and there's different ones out there, and they can cost anywhere from a little bit of money to lots of money, okay? That's the one time you're going to have to spend a little bit of money.
Yeah.
I tell my clients there's no money involved virtually. Minimal expenses, we create a list, and then on a timely basis, when you have an issue that you can talk about the media, in this case the radio, or other parts of the media for that matter, you send out a press release with a great headline. The most important thing in the world is the headline. Really work the headline. 80% of your thought should be on the headline and the subhead, and then you make your comments about what's missing. By the way, the headline that got the TV station here locally interested in gambling was The Good, the Bad, and the Gambling.
Well, that's cute.
Yeah, is it great? It's not great. It's not bad. I mean, it got me the phone call, right?
And look, the Bible begins in the beginning.
That's
how
right.
Brilliant is that? It's like,
God
is like, shall I start it with a dark and no, that's being used. No, all right, in the beginning. What the hell? It's an opening. But it works.
You know, that's the key, Rabbi. You have to. And the other thing that you do that I think is different, again, what I would promote, is you are unusual. You are, frankly, forgive me for using my own words, wacky a little bit.
Oh,
you,
boy.
You are a little different from other rabbis, shall I say?
Just a little.
I would.
It's play, third I nipple would, thing, but it was yeah. They fixed it. Yeah.
I would play that to the max also, and I would and I think that a non-Jewish audience is always looking for some fresh entertainment that they kind of understand, but not exactly. Secondly, you can say things other people can't say. You don't have the same degree of political correctness. You're obviously quick-witted. You have to play on those things.
Very good. I'm liking what you're saying. And by the way,
true.
I should remind people that I am talking with T.S., or should I say Tom, because we are Tom. Tom Perich, P-E-R-I-C with a thing on it. But when you Google, you don't have to do the thing on it. But do you have a website thing?
It is www.wackydays.com. That's WACKYDAYS.
So let me ask, did you ever create a wacky day?
I did.
What was it?
In February. It's Plan Your Publicity Week. But I don't promote it.
You created Plan Your Publicity Week, but you don't promote it.
Well, I'm a small operation. I always have to ask myself, where do I spend my time?
Oh, by the way, I don't think we've explained what you're a... What are you?
I am a publicity consultant.
Okay.
People who want to be in the media come to me and say, I want to be in the media. And with rare exceptions, in fact, I've never really failed. It's only a question of how successful I am. The point is that everyone has a story. This I'm convinced of. The secret is figuring out the story. I had another client, a printer. Won't mention his name. Same town. Tough. This is very tough. This guy's a printer, right?
Okay.
Happened to be Jewish, too, by the way.
Okay. Wait, now, how do you know? What, did he have a big nose or something? What do you mean? What do you assume that he's Jewish?
Because we talk about it.
Oh, okay. Are you Jewish?
I'm not. I'm a goy.
Well.
All my early clients were Jewish, though, just the way it worked out.
You were perfect until now. Now 10% off. But all right, I'll still listen to you.
There should always be let one goy in the group, right?
That's right.
We have a little bit of a problem. He's moving from one printing shop to another. So I'm thinking, how do I get him in the media, in the local paper, even the local weekly? He's just a printer. He's a nice guy. But what is it? You know what I mean?
Right.
Guess what? He owned a Russian motorcycle that went backwards. The only motorcycle in the world that goes
backwards. You sure it wasn't a Polish motorcycle? No,
it was a Russian motorcycle. So I managed to get him a photo about the business, about the motorcycle in the newspaper. He said to me initially, he said, you know, Tom, I wasn't all that impressed. See, I thought, you know, it's just a weekly paper, big deal, right? You know, I'm paying you this money. You know, couldn't you do better, as he says? By the way, we do better with him. All of a sudden, the article comes out. He got dozens of people mailing him the article, writing notes. He says, I can't believe it. He says, you know, from all over the place. The point is that it took somebody, and I'm not the only one who can do that, to look at his situation and say, what was different? Another thing we did for him, he moved down the block. again, big deal, right?
Right.
I mean, that's a hard one. This is not an easy sell. I have some, fortunately, some more exciting clients than that. So what did I do? Well, what I did was I took a building where he was, said, okay, this is where he was, and the way I wrote the press release and then I pitched it was that he sort of created, to some degree, this sort of high-tech printing establishment now, which is literally down the street, that didn't exist in the previous building. Okay. Now, you could arguably say that the improvements he made, anyone would have made, simply because they're moving, right? You tend to improve things. The point is, I made it newsworthy, I made it techie, and that's what caught the media's attention.
But you didn't tell any fibs. I mean,
no, you never lie. I was a journalist for too long than that. I am not like a lot of PR people. I can talk to a PR person for 3 minutes and usually tell whether or not they've been journalists. Because, you see, I understand, and I've never changed, I always say the things that really work are, it's all about people and ideas. I don't talk out of the corner of my mouth. You know, someone once said, if you want to be a liar, you can only be a good one if you have a perfect memory. I have no memory. My wife has a near photographic memory. I have zero. So we're at 49%, you know.
So if she lies to you, you don't even remember.
I wouldn't remember what she said.
I talk out the side of my mouth, but that's because I have cold sores. It's terrible.
So that's the key. You have to look for the people. You have to look for the ideas. This is a problem I have with some clients. You see, they want to talk about the business. And I tell them the media doesn't care about your business. What they care about is you. They care about the people in the business. They care about the ideas in the business. They care about how the public feels about your business.
Well, the one thing before we go I want to explain also is that you mentioned that seems to make a lot of sense is something called a tip sheet, which
yes.
People may not know what that is. It sounds like something you'd know what it is, but very specifically, one rabbi I know does have a tip sheet, but that's just where he carries the foreskins. What does it mean for you?
What a tip sheet is, it's interesting you picked that up because that may be the best advice I can share with your listeners. A tip sheet is simply a sheet of paper with 1 to 3 what I call story ideas. You don't write the idea. You give a good headline again, and then you simply explain the headline. You support it or explain the idea in 1 paragraph, 2 maximum. Of course, you give 2 or 3 because you want to give choices. That's the classic sales technique. Still works. Never more, never, obviously 1, 2 is fine. Never more than 3. Why waste ideas? Get them to pick. But here's the key. The ideas are often geared to where they're going to need a source or an expert. Guess who the source or expert is?
Uh-huh.
It's you. And when you get to the higher levels of this game, I even call the media. My doctor is a specialist that I see, even though I'm very healthy. He was on TV here on Monday. I had him on local television. He's not a client. I did it for 2 reasons. First of all, because I like my doctor. He happens to be Jewish.
Huh,
he's
good.
A great guy. He's a super guy, super doctor.
You ask everybody you talk to, are you Jewish? You seem to know. You seem to have this thing.
As I always say, it comes up in the conversation.
I mean, I've met a few Croatians in my life, but it is not the first topic of conversation when I meet somebody, especially when I'm in Harlem, you know?
But the key here is that I also I went to the news producer who I've worked with in the past. And what am I saying to him? I'm saying that when I come to you, I have good ideas.
This is a good thing.
This is a good thing.
It was a good idea to have you on this radio show.
You are wonderful. You're quick. You're smart. You have fun, which a lot of people don't have. And you know how to keep the pace moving.
Right. Is that something in your book, Flatter the Host? Because it works. It's good. You know, I'll think about having you on again. That's for sure.
Rabbi, everybody needs a pat on the back, and you know that.
I'm getting a pat a couple of other places, too. But here's the pat for you. It's Wacky Days is the name of the book. I'm not going to read the subtitle again because we don't have time, but I will remind people one more time that Tom Perich is the author, and you can go to his website, wackydays.com. And thank you for spending some Wacky Dave moments. Get it? There's a little pun there for you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I wish you a most happy and successful and publicized 2005. Thank you so much.
Rabbi, I wish it for you and all your listeners, too.